This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Regarding another important aspect, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts tawbah, repentance, what are the prerequisites for sincere tawbah? And could you possibly enlighten us with some prophetic traditions of some of the prophets making tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Allah says in the Quran, Surah Tahrim, chapter number 66, verse number 8, that, Ya al-lizina amanu, O you believe, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincere repentance. And there are basically five prerequisites for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept tawbah. Number one, the person should accept that he's doing is wrong. Number two, he should immediately stop it. Number three, he should seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number four, he should not commit that act again. And number five, if he has taken something from any other human being, and if he can return it, he should turn it back. For example, if he has robbed some money, he should turn the money back. If he has taken some wealth, he should give the wealth back. If he can undo the harm, he should do it. And according to Ibn Qayyim, he says that repentance is accepted when the person does not do that evil act again. And it further helps him to do good deeds and prevents him from going back to that act. According to Imam An-Nawawi, he says, there are three prerequisites for any tawbah to be accepted. Number one, he should stop the act what he's doing. Number two, he should ask for forgiveness. Number three, he should not do it again. And he says there's a fourth requirement. If he has done some harm to any other human being, then he should undo it if he can. And there are various examples in the hadith which give that how people have asked for forgiveness. It's mentioned in the hadith of Sahih Bukhari, volume number 4, in the book of Stories of the Prophet, hadith number 3470, that there was a person who had committed 99 murders. So he wants to seek repentance. So he asked the people that, how can he do it? So they send him to a monk. So monk says that you have killed 99 people. There's no chance of forgiveness. So that person, that murderer, he kills the monk too. And now he has committed 100 murders. So he goes to another person and says that I want to seek repentance. So he says that if you want to seek repentance, go to that land where people are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, you should leave the land in which you have committed the crime and go to that land where people are seeking repentance, and inshallah, Allah will grant you forgiveness. So he immediately goes towards that land. But on his way, death takes place and he dies. And he turns his chest towards that village where people are repenting. Then both the angels of good and the angels of bad, both come and they want to take him. The angels from the heaven say that we will take him because he wants to repent. But the angels from the bad deeds, the hell, they say, no, he has not committed a single good deed. We will take him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intervenes. And he asks the village where people are repenting that it should come closer to the person who has committed murder. And he commands to the place where he has committed the crime that it should go further away. So when they measure the distance, they find out that the person who committed the murder, he was one span closer to the village where people are repenting. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him Jannah. So this is an example that a person commits 100 murder and he wants to repent. Only the niyyah of repenting and traveling towards that place, and a different version of the same hadith says that while dying, he pushes himself towards the, and he looks towards the place where he can get forgiveness. So this shows that only the niyyah and the intention to ask for forgiveness, Allah forgives. There is another example in Sahih Muslim, volume number 3, in the book of Hudud, hadith number 4207. There was a lady from the tribe of Juhayna. She comes to the Prophet and she had committed adultery and she was pregnant. So she comes to the Prophet and says that I have done so and so sin. Please give me punishment. So the Prophet calls her master and says, take care of this woman till she delivers the child. And after that, get her to me. So the master, he takes care of her And after she gives birth to a child, he gets the woman. Then the Prophet says, because of the adultery, she has to be given the hath penalty. And the lady, she's asked to wrap around herself with her cloth, and the people stone her to death. And after she dies, the Prophet, he prays for her. So Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, says that, "O Prophet, you're praying for a woman who has committed adultery?" Then the Prophet replies that the way she has repented, even if you distribute this repentance to 70 people of Medina, it would be sufficient for them to go to Jannah. Who can repent better than the woman who's willing to give her life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? A similar example is given in Sahih Muslim, volume number 3, in the book of Hudud, hadith number 4205, that Ma'az bin Malik, may Allah be with him, he comes to the Prophet and he says that, "Please purify me." The Prophet says, "Woe to you. Go and ask for forgiveness for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you repent." The person, he goes back, again he comes and says, "O messenger, please pardon me." He says, "Woe to you. Ask for forgiveness for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you repent." Again the person goes, again he comes for the third time, "O messenger of Allah, please purify me." He says, "Go away from you. Ask for repentance. Ask for forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Again the fourth time he comes and he says to the Prophet, "Please pardon me." The Prophet says, "From what?" So Ma'az, may Allah be pleased with him, he says that, "From adultery." So he says, "Are you mad? Have you gone crazy?" So the person says, "No, I'm not mad." Then the Prophet asks that, "Are you drunk? Did you have khamar? Did you have wine?" So the other people get up and they smell his mouth. They said, "No, Prophet." He said, "No khamar." He said, "Did you really commit adultery?" He says, "Yes, I've committed adultery. And I want the punishment for the sin I've committed." So the Prophet asked the people to stone him. And he was stoned to death. After stoned to death, there's a controversy between the Sahabas and the two groups of people. One group of people say that he has been undone. That means it's a pity that he will not get maghfirah undone. The other group says, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted Ma'az, may Allah be pleased with him. Allah has accepted his repentance and he shall go to Jannah." This happens for 2 or 3 days. Then the beloved Prophet ﷺ comes and then he tells to the Sahabas that, "Pray for Ma'az ibn Malik because he has repented for his sin. And if you distribute his repentance, even in a large number of people, in a group of people, it would be sufficient." Here it shows that the people, they committed a major sin, but they repented. They were even willing to have themselves killed because both these people knew very well that the punishment for adultery was death, it was stoning to death. So here it shows that the high level of taqwa they had, the sincere repentance, that they asked from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah forgives them.